Hey, growers of the world, Jordan River with more GrowCast. Today we got Wolfman, my good buddy, show favorite. He's back. He's been busy. He's been kicking around a little bit in the Slack chat, but now he's back on the GrowCast podcast. I know you're going to love today's episode. Before we get into it, though, got to give some love to AC Infinity, one of my favorite partners and the best grow fans you can find out there. ACInfinity.com. Use code GrowCast15 for 15% off your entire order. They also make some sexy, sexy tents that are thick and durable, but those sell out quick. So get your hands on them if you can. Use that code if you can. But make sure to pick up, if you guys are using clunky old heavy loud fans, upgrade those fans. Go to acinfinity.com and use GrowCast15. Get yourself the S series. The simple series has a 10-speed fan controller, or go with the T series, the smart fan. They're lighter, they're quieter, they're more powerful. They're the best out there. AC Infinity, code GrowCast15. Okay, let's get into it with the Wolfman. Thank you for listening and enjoy the program. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to GrowCast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Before we get started, please share GrowCast with a grower. Spread the show. Make sure you subscribe so you catch every episode. And check out our member content, of course, at patreon.com/GrowCast. Packed full of member content up there. Today we have back on the main podcast, been a little while, Wolfman. What's up, buddy?
Oh, not much, man.
Good to be talking with you. I'm doing excellent. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, it has been a while, but it's always a pleasure to be back.
Yeah, man. We get it. Been some busy life stuff, some busy work stuff. Wolfman has been kicking it a little bit in the Patreon, but we're glad to have you back on GrowCast podcast today to talk about all sorts of stuff, kind of a classic grow chat. I got a whole list of topics here we're going to run down. And good to have you back, man. Good to hear you're healthy and doing okay out there on the West Coast in Oregon. And let's see, where are we at? You know, it's interesting. We usually do this kind of whole year-long content cycle where we talk about outdoor growers are, because Wolfman has worked in so many grow shops and worked on so many outdoor grows. And we're going to continue to do that this year. But what makes that extra exciting is I've got a perfect spot. A card-holding family member with some property out here. I'm going to do my first outdoor run here, Wolfman. How exciting is that?
That's awesome, man. It's a whole new adventure.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. That's good times.
Photo periods outdoors. I don't know. I don't know how this is going to go. Probably do some light depth. It's a first time for me, so you guys will see my successes and my failures. We'll see how that goes, and it's going to be kind of remote, so we'll see. We'll just see, man. But yeah, in February, still freezing cold here in the Midwest. But I imagine, I don't know, thinking back to Humboldt, there was like a whole kind of behind the scenes indoor prep for outdoor as people are kind of growing their clones into teens early. Are we even at that point? What are we doing in February, depending on where you are, of course?
Yeah, it's very dependent on your property, on your you know, you being on top of things yourself, people that, you know, have access to their properties that aren't above the snow level, you know, if, you know, they're probably on it, starting getting prepared, starting to clean up, maybe starting to reskin the greenhouses, dirt prep, that kind of thing. You know, doing the last bit of winter or spring cleanup, I would say, just getting ready. If you're above the snow level, you know, you're just doing whatever you can, you know, but yeah, if you're, you know, in town, you have another space, a little bit of pre-veg is always good. That way you're that much ahead of what's going on. Yeah. Cause you can never rely on someone else for health and, you know, genetics for plants that you really want to grow outside, mm-hmm. or you really want to grow this season.
Yeah. That's interesting. Soil prep. I know a lot of these guys who mix their own large batches of organic soil. They like to let it cook and sit for a while. So I didn't think about that. Probably a big deal for those large scale growers. But yeah, like you said, and like I was alluding to, I remember that whole kind of clone industry living back in Humboldt, where I met the good old Wolfman. There'd just be all these people who had the indoor setups going when it was still, you know, cold out and not ready for spring planting, but they would get them up to like teens so that when they got them out there, is that to get a jump start on light depth? Maybe for those who are just first time listening, that's the light deprivation technique where you trigger a flowering period early on photo periods by just tarping them off, depriving them of light. So is that to kind of get a jump start on that, obviously, just to get a jump start on everything. I guess more growth is better, right, Wolfman?
Yeah, I mean, you could go either direction with that. Doing light depth, in essence, like you said, you're just controlling the photo period, much like, you know, controlling the lights in an indoor situation. You know, you can pull a couple runs every season if you wanted to, if you're really on it. Maybe pull three if you're really on top of things.
Damn.
But I'd say if you're doing two a year, you're ahead of the curve. But yeah, I mean, you know, if you threw some big plants out early in the spring, and if you're doing a full term or just going full season with them, they're just going to be even bigger. And hopefully you have an even bigger harvest. But, you know, yeah, it all depends on what you're trying to do.
Those monster outdoor Garberville plants, some of the most impressive cannabis growing out there. I love seeing those pictures of the monster plants, man. Yeah, I even got to see a couple of my own growing out there. But I'll tell you what really surprises me, Wolfman. I want to get your take on this. I've seen the clone market change over time. Clones have gotten well, let's see. Let me speak very specifically so I don't want to mince words here. The clone market has expanded to seemingly all reaches of the nation, and it's fetching now a wide, wide variety of prices for cuts. Where when I remember back in Humboldt, even the dispensary clones, even the special clones, seemed to be cheaper. It wasn't uncommon to see $4 or $5 a clone. Now I don't see those prices almost ever, and I see some ungodly prices of clones. And then also seeds ranging from $30 a pack up to $200. I saw a $600 pack posted in the Slack chat. Have you seen a change in clone prices? And then follow-up questions. A question, I don't know if you're much of a seed grower. Have you seen a change in seed prices?
I mean, I myself have not been in those worlds for a long time, but I imagine things always go up in price. I know there's a lot more like rare stuff or, you know, with people marketing themselves. And, you know, it's like art. You can only be, art is only worth what someone else is going to pay for it. If someone's willing to pay that much for those seeds, you know, then you're going to have that genetic for as long as you can keep it around kind of thing. You could, you know, you're be the only one with that genetic. I could see prices being a little bit high, but yeah, that's just ridiculous to me. I mean, I used to, yeah, I mean, I, you know, sell my buddy's cuts out of an easy cloner for like $2-3 a piece, you know, just like his roots dangling, like, here you go. You know, teens were, you know, maybe $10 to $20 for a couple foot plant.
That's more common.
But
that's a more common price point now, I'd say.
Yeah, it all depends.
And it's funny because there's a lot of clone shipping going on now. I don't know if you're hip to this. Have you seen this like industry popping up? You can order clones. There are now clone shipping devices that they're these upside down cups with LEDs. Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Kind of, not really, a little bit. I mean, a couple of years ago.
It's crazy. What do you think about that? It sounds like a bad idea to me.
There's all kinds of things in the mail. Yeah. I don't know. If people want it, people do it. I've known people to ship, you know, like not rooted, like chunks of plants, you know, that way it's not a real plant. That way you can't get in trouble for mailing a plant through or sending a plant through the mail.
Oh, one like tissue culture it?
Yeah, they would just take a big chunk off of a branch and then like, you know, you mail it and then you just take a cutting off of that branch when it gets to its destination.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
That kind of thing, you know, but you know, it there's something out there for everybody.
Yeah, I want to clarify it. I said it sounds like a bad idea. Again, that was a poor choice of words. That sounds risky to me, but I mean, people are clearly doing it and getting away with it because if you think about these hemp laws, how are you to know if that's just a hemp clone? And there's a lot of these cases that are finally starting to get reversed where someone gets pulled over and busted with a bunch of weed and they get it back. I've seen a couple good posts like on the Blacklist Instagram page where this dude is walking out of the California courthouse and he's loading up his 5 pounds that got seized that he won back into his trunk. So I don't know. It's just interesting, but kind of, you know, you've been around, if you've been around for a while, that sort of thing, it really freaks me out. Like I'm going to ship you a clone.
No, the with hemp making a stand in the industry or coming back into fruition after many decades, things are going to change. It's going to be a whole new world out there.
Totally. Yeah. And again, you don't want to ruin your business relationship with a hemp, like a legitimate hemp shipper. So it makes sense that they couldn't really know one way or the other and therefore let it go. But yeah, that's pretty crazy. But some of these clone shipper contraptions are quite cool. I would check them out just for kicks. Like I said, they're quite innovative and small and lightweight and clone shippers, man.
Oh yeah.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah. I had people ask me to order them for them when I was at the shop a few times. But it just seemed like more of a pain for me. I just told them to get them off of Amazon.
Yeah,
or totally. Buy them online.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. But yeah, they seem interesting.
Speaking of, though, we're right on topic here, talking about, you know, stealthy ways to transport genetics. I wanted to do a whole little segment here on a topic that's been requested quite a bit: stealth growing. You know, stealth growing, incognito growing, growing without anybody else noticing. Kind of, you know, it's got deep roots, pardon the pun, in the cannabis industry because of the illegality, obviously, but it didn't really go away. Like, I think most people would like to just have it be open, but in reality, if you're a pragmatist, there's other reasons to grow stealthily. Just being a courteous neighbor, you know, for instance, if people don't like the sight or smell, just, you know, kind of minding yourself. Safety. For one, again, that blacklist account always posting break-ins and stuff like that. You don't want that in your life. So, Wolfman, it's kind of interesting that, of course, we want the stigma to go away and we want everybody to be growing and therefore no one would want to steal your weed or anything. But in reality, even in legal states, you still want to be pretty stealthy in your grow, right?
I mean, I myself, you know, I don't really like a bunch of people knowing what I'm doing. So I like my privacy. So I would, you know, I try to be stealthy or just not be, you know, just obvious about what I'm doing in my life, you know, big fences, water, fountains for noise, that kind of thing. But yeah.
I like that. Water fountains for noise. There's several kind of approaches you got to take, right? Of the pollution. Why don't we just dive into that's a good point right there to start off with noise. There's a lot of different bases you got to cover. One of the reasons that I always recommend our favorite partners, AC Infinity, use code GROWCAST15. Fans are so effing loud and it's so unmistakable when you're walking down the street on a California street and you turn a corner and there's an outbuilding and you just hear that. It's literally just like unmistakable. There's no other reason to have that ducting, right?
Oh yeah, or you see the spinny vent on the top just like going to town, and there's not, you know, there's no wind at all in the sky.
It's a good one too. How else do you reduce that noise? I know there's like some things you can buy to help with that.
I mean, you can, you know, extend the length of the ducting. The longer the ducting, the slower the air is going to be by the time it gets to the end of it. So that you won't hear as much of the air movement. But, you know, fans do get very loud. You can hear vibration if you mount them like right to the wall or right to the rafters or whatnot. So I always, you know, would put a J hook in a rafter and then hang the fan with a bungee or like a ratchet strap, something that would eat the vibration of the fan a little bit, that kind of thing. Fountains are always good. I've known lots of buddies that have built different fountains. I've bought, you know, many inexpensive little fountains over the years. You can always plant different things that are, different, like, fragrant flowers and whatnot that help cover the aromas of different things. If you don't have the best, you know, carbon filter or some kind of, air filtration system,
some cover crops, if you will. Oh man, I thought that was funnier coming out than it landed.
Yeah, or you can even go the other end with it and do like, you know, just plant blackberries or plant some kind of spiky plant that will keep people, you know, at bay or at distance from the structure that you have.
Nice. Yeah, good point. Use nature as a weapon. Those are all really great suggestions. What I was alluding to was I was thinking there are some silencers you can buy, some thicker insulated ducting. The longer ducting is brilliant, Wolfman. This is something you've touched on before, which is the noise actually comes from like a few different places. If you really think about it, there's the fan running itself, which I find is like, there's no getting around that. If you buy a crappy no speed controller clunk fan, it's going to be heavy and it's going to be loud. So like, there's no getting around that. But even if you do fix that, like you said, there's the vibration noise. So maybe don't nail it directly to the studs or whatever like Wolfman said, suspend it. There's that vibration noise. And then there's the noise coming, the rushing air coming through the vent and coming out of the end of the vent. And that's like a whole separate noise. In fact, if you have it too capped or you have a filter, which we recommend you have something, so you're not just like, for instance, for your intake sucking in, if that filter or cap gets too clogged, it actually increases that noise. You know what I mean? It's got a smaller hole to pull through and it starts to make a louder noise there too. So you really have to like keep all three of those things in mind to truly minimize your noise pollution. You agree with that, Wolfman? Pretty solid point, huh?
Oh yeah. And then, you know, with those filters getting clogged, you know, with the air moving slower, you're moving less air, then your temperatures are only going to go up as well. Right. So, you know, keeping things clean, keeping things nice. Other thing to remember with ducting is don't do 90s if you can. That'll increase decrease the CFM, the airflow of the fan being able to push as much air through that duct as it can.
90 degree angles in the tube, you mean, right?
Yeah.
What was that equation? There's a rough number for that, like a 25% reduction for.
Yeah, I think I would just tell people it would cut like a 90 cuts at like 50% or 30%. I don't remember. So I would just throw an ungodly number, a big number out there.
just try to scare the customer into keeping their line straight, and then their grow would do better.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a joke, people. It's a joke. That's a good point, though. And apparently not all ducting is created equal. This is something that I've recently learned. Shout out to Ron in the chat. You know, I would always just go for the cheapest ducting possible. And I've seen so many people run into torn ducting. And apparently you want to get the black stuff. It can have light leaks. You can have a light leak coming in depending on where your fan is in relation to your tent. A pinhole or a cheap duct can actually have a light leak in it. So something to think about. Something to think about when you're setting up your ducting and your aeration. Not just thinking about, you know, CFM, but also the stealthiness, the air pollution, the smell pollution, and potential light leaks. Solid overview, Wolfman. I wish I had the soundboard up. I would cue a little golf clap there.
No, I'm good, man. Yeah, no, I remember touching on that one in the chat. Yeah, there's definitely different ductings out there. You hit it right. There's not all ductings are created equal. You definitely will spend more money on nicer ducts. If you don't need to run insulated ducts, there is really nice non-insulated ducting you can get that's light-proof. You don't have to get the metal stuff that, you know, you used to use for your dryer vent. You can use like a softer ducting. But yeah, I always used to use insulated ducts for anything big. And then when I was doing like air-cooled lights, I would use a non-insulated duct in between those. But, you definitely need to make sure that you're not getting any light leaks in your rooms or in your tents. I'd always sit there in the dark for, you know, 10 to 15 minutes and let my eyes adjust and see if I can find any light coming through and then fix those holes before I, you know, got my run going.
Oh, man.
Just to be preventive.
I know how that goes. That's what I'm using right now in my outtake is the metal kind of piping one. But I've always just used the cheapest kind of silver, kind of like Vivisun one that they send for my 4-inch ones. And those are the ones that I'd maybe consider stepping up. And like I said, AC Infinity actually makes a nice kind of like Wolfman's describing, a wrapped, softer one that's like double layered and black on the outside. So anyways, solid stuff, man. Absolutely love it. We'll be right back with Wolfman, but before that, gotta tell you about our brand new partner, Photon Tech Lighting. That's right, Photon Tech LED lights. PhotonTech-Lighting.com is where you can find them. That's T-E-K. Use code GROWCAST for 5% off your Photon Tech fixtures. These things are absolutely killer, folks. They've got the 465-watt, they've got the 600-watt, and coming soon, they have a 1,000-watt light and even a boosted CO2 light that has even more density, specifically for if you're supplementing CO2. Extremely efficient. You're getting 2.7 on the U-mol reading. High PPF output, 1256 U-mols, full spectrum. It's exactly what you're looking for. That's the 465 specs that I'm looking at right now, which, by the way, I'm going to be growing with in my 4x4. So shout out to PhotonTech. Thank you so much. Find PhotonTech. Use code GROWCAST, 5% off, and you will not regret it, folks. High-end, powerful, efficient LEDs. PhotonTechLighting.com. There's a hyphen in there. PhotonTech-Lighting.com. Use code GROWCAST for 5% off. All right, let's get back to Wolfman. Carbon filters, next on the stealth topic list. Again, not all created equal. Do you suggest, you know, even bothering with these cheap as possible Amazon filters? I'm largely realizing it depends on the air quality you're in. My humidifier with my hard water has been accelerating the death of my carbon filters. I replace them so much more infrequently in Eureka. But what do you think? Should people cheap out on a carbon filter? Or should they go for the high-end, more expensive ones? Are they worth the buck, in your opinion?
Depends on the application, but I would always get the nicer ones myself. Yeah, like you said, not all carbon is created equal. There's a carbon rating that you should find on most boxes or most carbon filters. I think Fresh Filter or Fat Filter used to have one of the higher grade of carbons on the market. I don't know if they're still a thing anymore.
Freshes, that's the pH, right?
Yeah, they might be phasing those out. I'm not 100% sure. You never know what Hawthorne is doing. I think they might be absorbing that and doing it like a house brand or rebranding into a different brand. But, you know, just pay attention to the carbon. A crushed carbon, a virgin carbon is definitely better than a reused carbon, a cylindrical carbon. You want more surface area to come in contact with the air, and then it'll, you know, it has more odor absorption abilities.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. Then also, you know, your aluminum housing versus your steel housing is going to be a lot easier to work with and hang and whatnot.
Yeah. Those, some of them are heavier than others.
Yeah. I would go with, upper medium to high grade filter myself. But like you said, humidity and air quality of the space that you're working in will definitely affect the life of your filter. If you're pulling a bunch of super humid air in with that filter, it's only going to get clogged and more gunk is going to build up a lot quicker in it. So you might want to, you know, maybe have two and have to keep one like in a room, small room with a dehum to get as much of that humidity out of there. You might have to like do something to clean out the funk of the filter. But
I don't know what I'm going to do. I've never had this problem before. And again, for me, it started, and I forget, I think it might have been, is this two shout outs to Ron who solved this? In the chat, I was like, listen, guys, my carbon filters are kicking out way too quickly, like in a matter of weeks. And it was when I was running the humidifiers for this dryness, the hard water seems to be translating to hard mist. It's what's happening, man, because the thing doesn't look dirty, but the pre-filter is covered in this like calcium buildup. It's just, God, this Midwest Algonquin water. I know I should not spend this much time complaining about water on a global podcast, and I'm sorry, but it's so terrible and it's so hard that I guess it was fucking up. The mist from my humidifier was fucking up my filter. So it's something to think about for those out there.
Definitely. Yeah, I completely agree.
But enough about my current grow. Kind of gotta get that thing dialed in, man. I do want to tell a quick story relating to stealth growing. I've told it before, you know, basically the worst moment in my Eureka Grow career when I had some positive pressure for some reason in my room and I didn't close my shed door all the way and I ran my lights at night and I ended up leaving my grow room and little did I know I didn't close the door all the way and somehow everything swung open and there was like light spilling into my backyard. So if anybody were to, for instance, I had it pretty good to where you could only see into my backyard from a very small angle. But if someone were to be walking down, you know, McFarland Street in Eureka, California, and just simply turned their heads, I mean, they would notice immediately. It's not like they would have to turn their heads would be drawn to the light like a moth to a flame. Just 16, you know, lights, 16,600 watt lights spilling out into my backyard. Just kind of how you set up your schedule can determine a lot of the time when you're going to be going out to your outbuilding, for instance, when you're going to be carrying shit in and out of your house, whether that means do it at night when no one can see you, or do it during the day because people would see you at night and that would be suspicious. You know what I mean, Wolfman? Like, you got to think about your schedules, A, for things like climate, for instance, running your lights at night for cool air, but also like, when am I going to be going in and out? When am I going to be tending to my garden? When am I going to be walking out with stinky hands and the neighbor's going to stop me and want to chat? It's a pretty relevant point, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, power consumption, you get different rates at different times of the day.
Good point.
Yeah. You know, if it's an auxiliary grow, if you're going to drive across town or something, you know, those are all things to think about. You know, it's very, gardening can be very personal. You can make things, set things up just for you.
That's a great soundbite. I absolutely love that. You can set things up just for you. So that was one of the worst moments. And again, a danger of running your lights at night, light spillage, not exactly stealth. Yeah. So, I mean, it all depends on your setup and you got to make it right just for you, as the Wolfman said. But yeah, sound, light, odor, overall schedule, power usage is a huge one. You know, something that I see people are really concerned with. Honestly, Wolfman, power usage, I think you got to be running a lot of stuff for anything to, first of all, I don't know how common it is for power companies to just flag one of their customers and alert law enforcement. I don't think that's really a thing that's very common.
It probably depends on where you live.
Again, people in the Slack chat have said that it's happened. Like, it's certainly possible, right? But I imagine that there are many other endeavors that consume a lot of power. And I also imagine you'd have to have a pretty damn big, large operation to really raise any red flags. For instance, things like space heaters run at 1,000 watts. Things like a dryer runs at like 3,000 to 5,000 watts, something like that. So if you're running a couple lights, I don't think that's something, I don't want to steer people wrong here, but in my limited opinion, in my limited experience, I don't know if you should be that worried about a power consumption issue if you're running just a couple of lights, especially if they're LED. But even a 1,000 watts, I don't know, Wolfman, please push back if you want, but what do you think of that?
No, I mean, I always felt comfortable with, you know, even 10,000 watts. It all depends on where you're at. Depends on what part of town you're in. Depends on what town you are in. Depends on what state you're in. But just like a light or two, you know, even if you're doing like a high pressure sodium or double ended, even if you're doing like a couple, yeah, like you said, a couple thousand watts, you know, most little space heaters, when you crank them up to max, are 1,400 to 1,700 watts. So right. That's a light. You know, but I mean, it's not a light that's on for, I mean, a lot of people just leave their space heaters on for a good long periods of time. But
right.
Yeah, a couple of lights, I wouldn't be too worried about it, you know, unless your bills are already that tight, I wouldn't be crazy worried about it. But you know, baby step.
I'm just thinking of stealth concerns specifically. There's a lot of reasons to think about power consumption, but I do see people getting worried, like, specifically when it comes to older, like, forum posts and stuff, you know, people flying over their house with infrared if they see a power increase. It's like, I just don't think that's it. It's like $8,000 an hour to keep a helicopter in the air. I don't think they're going to do that, especially when, you know, things like mining Bitcoin or having a shop in your backyard, or these all take a lot of power, you know?
Yeah. And if you were like stealing power, I could see them being a little bit more concerned than if you're just, you know, if you're paying for it, that's one thing. But yeah, if you're like, you're jumping the box and you're pulling, you know, you're stealing like 10,000-20,000 watts, you know, they know that power goes down that line and then it just disappears at, you know, point X, and then it, you know, it doesn't make it to point Y. So they're going to track it down. They'll get the ghetto bird up with the fucking infrared.
Whoa.
You know, they'll look.
So can you talk about that for a second? Because this is something that, you know, I think some people have heard about, but definitely people will, especially I feel like older school, you know, black market guys in the West Coast, I've heard about these types of stories They'll like what, splice into their neighbor's power box, connect it to their shit. So when they're running their grow, their neighbor gets billed for it. That's the idea, right?
Yeah, I mean, you could do that. I've heard stories and I've read articles and whatnot of people like, you know, if you can like get in behind the meter, you know, so you're not
So you're just stealing from the city. I didn't know that.
Yeah, you're stealing from the power company. You're not stealing from, you know, your neighbor.
I didn't get that.
So no one's paying for the power. The power just is being taken.
Because they would know their bill was high. Okay.
Yeah. The power company is like they're sending out, you know, X amount of power.
Right.
But they're only, you know, only so much of it is actually going to.
You're getting paid for.
Only so much is being paid for. So they're definitely, they'll look for you at that point.
I get it. No, I thought, okay, I totally get that now. That's fucked, man. So you've heard stories of that actually going down in like Humboldt and stuff, right?
I've heard more stories like that down in like Southern California and stuff. You can, I don't know if you want to like Google news articles and whatnot of, yeah, I want to say.
That's crazy.
I don't know. Maybe San Diego, maybe Chino. I don't remember. It's been a long time.
It's funny, man. That takes some balls to steal your power for your cannabis grow right there.
Yeah.
But hey, like I said, I thought it was like something about siphoning from the neighborhood. If it's just stealing from the power company, it's definitely less despicable.
Yeah. Or, you know, if you had like a duplex or a triplex or something, you know, you can, you know, split up the power between different units and, you know, grow in one and live in another one, that kind of thing.
Yeah, actually, that's not a bad idea, man. That ain't a bad idea at all.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. And then, you know, if it's an upstairs, downstairs, you could even like pipe all that hot air up to your, you know, if you're living upstairs and then you can get all that free warmth. So you don't have to pay for a heating bill.
Man, got all these tricks, got all these wolf tricks in his head. That's both stealth and efficient. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I do want to make sure we have time for really quickly here before we wrap it up, something that's changed drastically, you know, going in and out of your house, going to the garden store. Now there is so much good stuff available online and specifically through Amazon, which all comes in the same box. You can grab your AC Infinity fan from Amazon. It'll come in an Amazon box. I still have to talk with some of my partners and say, guys, I have listeners complaining, just for your reference, your box is way too... It says fucking LED grow light on the side. It's, you know what I mean? It says, I've had to have this discussion with partners of mine in the past. You know, it says cannabis nutrient on the side. It's not something you want being delivered to your house necessarily. So I feel like it's a different time in that you don't have to go to the grow store and carry in stuff as much. But depending on where you order from, it's either going to be super discreet or super uncomfortable. You know what I mean, Wolfman?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, you can always try to just get more generic stuff. Just go to like, you know, your Home Depot, your big box stores, and, you know, you're just, you know, having a normal garden, you know.
That's true.
Just have some azaleas out front or something.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. You got to have a real garden that you're working on. That's what's up. It's all just, the herbs are all just a front, baby. That's the way to do it. That is even more stealth. Yeah. I like it. I like it, Wolfman. I know you're up against it. We don't want to eat up your whole evening. Thank you for taking the time to chat with us today. I know you got some big changes coming. You're doing a move and stuff, but we always appreciate you popping in.
Oh yeah. It's always good to be here. Once I can get settled here in the next little bit, I'm planning on being here way more often. So look forward to hearing from me more often.
Well, of course we do, Wolfman. That's top of our list, baby. And we're going to get you growing. Whether you end up doing that thing or we'll get you set up with a little tent grow. We're going to get Wolfman growing again as soon as he's settled. He's exactly where I was like last year, just moving around, no place to grow. And we're going to fix that. Okay, buddy?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'd love to try some of the house genetics at some point here.
Oh, yeah. Of course. The ice cream Wolfman, your namesake, just popped in my garden, man. This is a really, really nice strain, the F Berry and Ice Cream Man. But I know we're going to get blown up just talking about it. You can hit up Patreon. Members will get first dibs. But yeah, Seedco's coming. Just stay tuned for updates and be as patient as you can with Seedco, their listeners. And of course, Wolfman, we'll hook you up, buddy. But I'll let you go. Sorry. Now I'm just rambling. Everybody, follow the show at Growcast. Thank you so much for subscribing. And stay tuned. We've got more Wolfman. We've got more great content coming at you. This is Wolfman and Jordan River signing off, saying to you,
Stay safe out there, people.
Yeah, and grow smarter. That's all for today, everybody. Thank you to the Wolfman. Thank you to you for tuning in. I appreciate each and every one of you. Quick shout out to Purity Coffee. People have been asking about my coffee work, where they can get the best coffee. You can get the best coffee in the world, the healthiest coffee, at puritycoffee.com. Use code RIVER for 20% off and free shipping. Step your coffee game up. You're smoking the best buds. Why would you do any worse for your coffee? Puritycoffee.com. Use code RIVER for 20% off and free shipping. Shout out to Illinois Canna Consulting. That's Rich's consulting company. Rich is helping the soil growers, the organic growers out there succeed greatly. Thank you to Rizo Rich. And finally, shout out to Jay Blank for doing the ad beat. We'll see you next time, everybody. Thank you for being subscribed. Got some good stuff coming your way. Good stuff in the works. Appreciate you all. Best of luck in your gardens. Bye-bye.